So a few weeks ago, I went down to the drag races in Swift Current, and on Sunday morning they had a chaplain that did a little church service there, and we had communion. It was a nice little service outside on Sunday morning, and she gave us each of us a paper that we could take home, and I didn't have time to read mine, so I folded up, put it in the pocket. Was going to read it later, and then I lost it when I got home. And then, I rescued it from the garbage. And then I finally got around to reading it. And I'd just like to read the one side of it here. It says, "The Midbar. He took me out in the desert to an immense valley surrounded by reddish mountains, which turned increasingly purple and blue as they extended out into the far distance. 'What words come to your mind,' said the teacher, 'when you look at the desert wilderness? Dry, barren, hot, austere, severe, hard, forbidding. And when people go through hard times, times of loss, crisis, tragedy, loneliness, conflict, hardship, problems, separation, tears, they speak of going through the wilderness. And yet the wilderness is a holy place. It was in a desert wilderness that God gave his law, his word, and where he revealed his presence. The wilderness is holy. So the hard times in our lives are holy? For those who are his children, yes. How so? In Hebrew, the wilderness is called the Midbar. Midbar comes from the root word davar, and davar means to speak. What is the wilderness? It is the Midbar. And what is the Midbar? It is the place of God speaking, the place of his voice. It's where God especially talks to us. Why did he bring his people into wilderness, into the Midbar? So he could speak to them. He brought Moses into the Midbar to speak to him through a burning bush. He brought Elijah to the Midbar to speak to him in a still small voice. So too he brings us into the wilderness, that he might speak to us. What is it about the wilderness that makes it the place of God speaking? Look around you, he said. What do you see? Not much. Rock, sand, mountains. That's why, said the teacher. God speaks, but we don't hear. We have too many distractions. But in the wilderness, the distractions are gone. So God brings us to the wilderness that we might hear his voice. Therefore, do not fear or despise the wilderness of your life, and don't despise his removing of the distractions. Rather, embrace it. Draw closer to him and listen to what he is saying. Seek to hear his voice and you will hear him. For the wilderness in your life is not just a wilderness. It is holy ground, the Midbar, the place of his voice." At the bottom it says, "The mission. Put away the distractions, those things that keep you from hearing, and go into the wilderness, the Midbar, and seek the voice of God." So I found that pretty interesting. There's some really good points in there. But the word that caught my mind, or that caught my attention, was distractions. So I thought I would talk about distractions, because I don't know if I'm the only one who has a problem with being distracted. Maybe I'm alone, but I kind of don't think so. In fact, I was so busy and distracted this week, I barely had time to work on my sermon about dealing with distractions. I actually had all summer to prepare because Wendy asked me back in June, but I don't know, it always happens at the last minute. I have all these ideas and then I kind of put it together at the last minute. Anyways, distractions. Something that we're all familiar with. I think we all have a lot of distractions, things in our lives that take our time. And it seems that nowadays it's more of an issue than it has been in the past. Just the culture we live in, the technology, whatever it is. It seems to be so many different things that are pulling at us that can take our time. Some examples are our work, our play, family, friends, technology, entertainment, as well as worries and fears, our health, all these things. Just examples of things that distract us, that take our time. And the list, I mean, it goes on and on. It's endless, really, how many things can take our time. In Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 to 40, Jesus is asked about the greatest commandment. And Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. The second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." To love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And that is a challenge for all of us, I think, to put God first in our lives, to love God. And it's a challenge because we're very distracted with other things that are going on in our lives. In Matthew 6:33, Jesus said, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." Seek first the kingdom of God. So how can we put God first when we have all these other things that are trying to take our time and taking our attention? I realize for myself that somehow I have to learn how to manage all these distractions in my life so that I can seek God first. So I kind of came up with three different steps that I can use, maybe you can use it too, that can help me to manage my distractions. The first one is just to identify common distractions and where they come from. So for me, just taking time to think about my life and my day-to-day routine and to think about the things that are taking my time, what I'm spending most of my time doing, and kind of, you know, think about where is that coming from? Is it a good thing or is it not a good thing? We talk about, you know, our three enemies: the devil, the flesh, and the world. And I think most distractions fit into one of those categories. They're either coming from the devil, the flesh, or the world. So looking at my life and thinking about things that I'm spending my time doing and trying to figure out where does it fit into that, where is this thing coming from, and is it right that I have this in my life or is it not? So that leads to step two, which is to evaluate where I spend my time, what is necessary and what is not. One major distraction I have is work, and I think I'm not alone in that. A lot of us work, and work takes a lot of time. It can take as much time as we want it to, especially working on the farm. It's not a 9-to-5 job. It goes overtime. It takes a lot of time. Sorry, my throat's not good from the dust from working on the farm overtime. Yeah, work, it's kind of a necessary evil for most of us. We have to spend a certain amount of time working. So how do we balance that? It's something I think we each need to look at our own lives and kind of make that decision. Figure that out figure that one out for ourselves. Something like Facebook is maybe not quite as necessary as work, but it's a huge distraction for quite a lot of us. I think it's something that can really take our time. And lots of other things that, you know, fit into that group. It's just, I think, a matter of looking at what I'm spending my time doing and then evaluating, is this really necessary that I spend, you know, 5 hours on the internet? Whatever it is, I don't know. I don't usually spend 5 hours on the internet, but it's possible. But somehow we always manage to make time for the things that we love, the things that are important to us. We can always find time for those things. So if God is important to us, if we love God, then we will make time for Him as well. And we should make more time for Him than we do for the other things. Matthew 6:21, Jesus said, "Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." And I think that applies to this. The things that we treasure, that's where we put our time, our energy. That's where we put our focus. If we treasure our relationship with God, then we'll put energy and time into it. And now step three is to remove or reduce distractions that are not necessary. Not all the distractions that we have in our lives are necessarily bad things. A lot of them are good things. In my house, we have two very small people that require a lot of time and attention. They're a huge distraction for Judith and myself. We both feel it's really hard to, you know, try to do devotions or have quiet time when you got little people that can't give you 2 minutes alone. But, you know, they're good, they're distractions, but they're good ones. We're happy to have them. They're a blessing to us. But somehow we have to learn how to manage them and how to make time for God with those distractions. Some other distractions are not good or not necessary. And that can be some of our hobbies or interests, things that we spend our time doing. Some of them aren't necessary. Some of them aren't pleasing to God. Some things, even things like addictions or certain thought patterns or fears or worries that we have, things that distract our mind, but they're not things that need to be in our lives. And I believe God wants us to deal with them, to remove them. Yeah, so finding the time to put God first. If we don't make time for God, there's other things that will take our time. There's always other things that will fill up our time. Two examples that came to mind. One was King Solomon. 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 4, it talks about Solomon later in his life. Because of all these wives and concubines he had, that they distracted him, he was led astray by these foreign wives who brought their gods with them. And he was led into worshiping foreign gods. It became a snare and a distraction for him. And it kind of, I don't know, I would say that he really didn't finish well in life because he allowed himself to be distracted from his true goal. And another one was the story of Martha and Mary from Luke chapter 10, where Jesus is visiting the house of Mary and Martha and Lazarus. And Martha's concerned about, she's having to do all the work while Mary's visiting with Jesus. And Jesus corrected her and said, "You're worried and upset about many things, but only the one thing is really needed." She was distracted by the physical things, by work or whatever, hospitality, I guess, but it was taking her attention, and Jesus is saying, that's not the most important thing, but spending time with me is more important. Those are two examples, and there are many more. But going back to what Jesus said, Matthew chapter 6, seek first the kingdom of God. I just realize that seek is an action word. That's not something that we do passively, but it's something that requires action on our part. I was just thinking about, like, if I had the winning lottery ticket, and I knew I had the winning lottery ticket with the numbers on it, and then I put it somewhere and I lost it, and I couldn't find it, then I would probably be seeking that lottery ticket pretty seriously. Just that picture in my mind, like, is that the way I look for Jesus? Is that the way I seek the kingdom of God? With that same kind of energy? And honestly, it's not always like that. It should be, but it's not. And that's one of the challenges. So we need to take time to seek God, to seek his kingdom, and to spend time with him. Psalm 46, verse 10, it says, be still and know that I am God. And that's one way that we can spend time with God, is just to be still, take that time in his presence. And that will be my challenge to myself and to all of you in this busy life that we have. We take time to seek him and to seek his kingdom. So I'm going to suggest that we, if possible, we look for at least 1 hour in the week where we can take time to be quiet and be still and focus on God. Not just Sunday morning, but somewhere else in the week, if we have that time, if we can find it, take an hour, go somewhere, be alone, be quiet, turn off the phone, do whatever we got to do, but be intentional and be deliberate about spending time with God. That's my challenge for each one of us.